A61, number 12A.
So we come to the next as reality. Just as it has been said about substance, is really the reality. Now, again, you can say, now what is reality? Well, reality is not something objective somewhere, huh? But it's again in the consciousness, therefore it's again understanding. Your understanding is your reality. If that understanding is a false understanding, an elusive understanding, then we have a material reality, an elusive reality, a false reality, or what we ever may call it, we have not real reality. Actually, it's very dangerous what I said to talk about false reality, because that doesn't exist. Reality can never be false. But Mrs. Eddy makes those concessions from time to time in the textbook too, that she speaks about the real cause of disease, which naturally doesn't exist. That if she says that mortal mind is the real cause of disease, one knows what she means, that she means mortal mind is the real cause of disease, not somehow an infection or something like that. But actually, you see, we should use the term reality only in a positive sense, and that's how it is used as spirit. The spirit is the only reality. It's the only actuality. She speaks about the somethingness of spirit. A funny term, but one feels so easily what she means. She also speaks about the things of spirit, and we know that it's so difficult, you know, the things of spirit. One hasn't quite a good feeling about it, because the moment we talk about the things, we think about objects. Those things are used in the language also for other things than things, than objective things. And so I think she had to use these terms like the somethingness of spirit to bring out the things of spirit, which are actually the spiritual qualities, the spiritual ideas. They are the things of spirit. Yeah? She speaks about that spirit is positive. She even says that spirit is tangible to spiritual consciousness. Can you see how we must be aware of the use of terms? I remember way back how someone scorned John Dolan and says, how can you say that spirit is tangible? Only the five physical senses can really touch something. Well, tangible means that it's actually not physically tangible, but spiritually tangible. And which means that something can be so definite, that something can be so concrete, spiritually concrete, that they are spiritually tangible. And I think spiritual things can be just as tangible as material things. Or I would say spiritual things are for spiritual sense just as tangible as material things are for material sense. And especially as one begins to culture these ideas, they become really tangible to consciousness. Has it become tangible to consciousness that mind means something very different than spirit? That it gives a complete different impact and impression than spirit? And so we can say, well, mind has become very tangible to my consciousness. And now spirit becomes very tangible to my consciousness. Meaning that we get the spiritual substance of it. That each synonymous term seems to have its own true substance. Yeah. Then we have the nature of spirit. We were talking about it before in another connection. The nature is spirit. Christ, nature, spirit.
Is it an image in mind?
An image in mind? What is an image in mind? It's an idea, huh? Yeah. And yet, I will go on that, yeah? Mm-hmm. And if you have an image in mind, you have an idea, that's mind. And now how you come to spirit? Yes, that's all right, you go, huh? How do you go to, how you get to spirit now?
Mind unfolds.
Mind unfolds. I thought we were talking about spirit that unfolds today. Why is nature spirit? Why is it? Yeah?
Evolving.
Evolving, yeah? It's an offspring, huh? What is being brought forth by the creative ability of mind, huh? Is really the substance of reality. That substance of reality is the nature of everything. What is the difference between idea and nature?
Nature describes ideas.
The nature describes the quality of idea. Hmm? Yeah? Absolutely. Hmm? It describes what quality the idea has, and that is the nature of an idea. That's why you have so, you have also in spirit that you would use spirit as a divine quality. But spirit is divine quality and quantity. So that every idea has its nature. An idea has the nature of power, so it's the idea of power. An idea can have the nature of law, so it has the idea of law. Another idea has the nature of identity, so you have identity. Hmm? So each idea has its nature. And only on the ground of this can we have this diversified concept of ideas. Else we wouldn't have a diversified concept of the ideas. You see, if we say mind creates infinite ideas, all right, how can we distinguish these ideas from each other? In no way, until we come to spirit, where we see that spirit diversifies, classifies, individualizes these ideas and gives to each idea different nature. Accentuates these ideas, always completely different, and shows that they have infinite qualities, infinite diversified qualities. So you have the idea of power, we have the idea of law, we have the idea of reality, we have the idea of identity, we have the idea of authority, we have the idea of life. See? We have the idea of the nature. And spirit, the substance of spirit, gives to the idea its nature. Yeah? Do you realize that when I ask such questions, like what has idea and nature to do together, how it's not so easy to answer, which means we have been using terms without knowing what we say. Let's be honest with ourselves that we have been engaged a lot in a word game. Hmm? There's nothing more healthier for us than always to be honest with ourselves, that we use language without giving to that language a spiritual connotation. And that's the danger, because the letter kills us, and the spirit makes it alive. So the more we culture within ourselves, you know, always that question, do I know what I mean? Do I know what is the difference between idea and nature? Do I know what is the difference between a quality and an attribute? Do I know that? Mrs. Eddy speaks about qualities, she speaks about attributes. Do I know the difference? We have to know that. Because it's not the same if I say wisdom is a quality, or if I say wisdom is an attribute. If I say that wisdom is a quality of God, then I say God is wise, and he isn't. But if I say wisdom is an attribute for God or for mind, then I say something right, something very interesting, something very useful. So it depends what I mean. I can't just use terms which I have learned in the textbook and just play with them. Hmm? Can you see how dangerous a study is if that study is not done consistently, consecratedly, and always with a complete honesty to oneself, asking, do I know what I say? Do I know the spiritual import of what I say? All right, so the nature of idea are its qualities. We have spirit, perhaps a supply, the supply of spirit, perhaps with a question mark, I would say, because life also is the supply. And here we come usually to very definite distinctions. Let's take this, just again for method. I'm quite willing to inspire you a little bit next week, but not this week. I don't want to inspire you. I just want to get right down to the to honesty, to feel where is the student? How does he work? Does he know how to work? Does he know what he's thinking? Does he only use words, or does he use spiritual values? We say supply. Is supply an idea of spirit, or is it an idea of life? We haven't done yet life, but you know enough from your study that if you would work about supply, that you may work with the synonymous term life, and the other may work with the synonymous term spirit. Because Mrs. Eddy would speak about supply in both connections, with life and with spirit. Why that? What is the difference?
Spirit is the substance of supply.
Spirit is the substance of supply, and life?
Is the supply.
Is the supply, huh? Yeah. So we can have the same term, but that same term has many implications. Supply means that it is always something. It's always something. Therefore, it's always some reality, some substance. But that substance must be, in order to be supply, must be at the point of meeting a need. Of meeting a need, or it isn't supply. If Jesus said, if you want bread, the Father is not going to give you heaps of stone. He doesn't supply stones. But if you want to build a house, you want stones and you don't want bread. You see? It must be adapted to the need. Then it is supply. So you have two very great points to consider in supply. Not just that there is a lot about it. Usually we think supply is if there is a lot about or some substance. That's not supply. If I need bread, a heap of supply of stone won't do it, or the other way around. It must be adapted to the situation. Then it is supply. So, here in spirit, we only first have to see that really all the substance is at hand. Because spirit is infinite, and is brought forth through the ideas of mind as the substance of spirit, this is infinitely available. So that there is no lack of supply, no lack of substance, and you can see through this whole situation from the point of view of spirit. And you can even see that in order to get the right supply, spirit will order everything in your life to bring about that which you need. That spirit will diversify and classify, that it will be understanding, and what we need to supply something is understanding. What we need are not material things, they are ideas. Ideas that can be understood. And we have supply. We are supplied by spirit through that wonderful sense of birth. Birth means something new comes from, comes out. Something new is added. That which I didn't have is coming into birth, huh? Into springs into being. Spirit therefore shows us that, so to say, out of nothing something comes up. So we know the law and the order of how to bring forth that which has not been there. By going back to mind and see, mind has always an idea, has an infinite idea. Mind knows that idea. Mind eternally knows all its idea. It is aware of all its idea and knows that it knows its idea. And as I begin to see that that mind is the only mind that knows, and there is no other mind who does not know, I begin to separate. I already build up the firmament and begin to reject that I do not know, that the ideas are not at hand. So through that tone of spirit of separation, I begin to see that these ideas of mind, the right ideas of mind, are my substance. They are right here as the nature of everything. And so I begin to bring forth the right ideas. And the right ideas are substance. Right idea are the reality of being. So they supply every situation. So can you see, you don't start actually working about supply by starting with spirit, because spirit is all substance. Why not? Because why don't you start with just spirit and say spirit is all substance, all reality?
Because you don't want just substance, you want a specific idea to meet your need.
You want ideas meeting the need, yeah? You say spirit is substance and you don't know what really the substance is. Because the only substance there is what mind minds, what mind produces, what mind creates. Huh? Therefore, substance is an indefinite concept before we cannot see the definite concept of mind's creation as ideas. Don't we use very often terms and think we know what they mean, and we do not mean what they mean. That we talk about substance, and that there is infinite substance, and do we know what we mean with substance? Or do we have just a flare of it, usually it's only at the material concept translated somehow in a little bit more spiritual sense, spiritual concept. But not really the reality of that term that is present. In order to really know what substance is, you have to start with mind. There's no other way. Can you see that? Naturally only, I have to be careful now, naturally only until we have a cultured sense of the seven. Once we have a cultured sense of the seven, we don't start always with mind, spirit, soul. It's only like the little child that goes to school, he has first to learn to climb up from the one to the two to the three to the four to the five. That's how we did it. And I said, I can already count up to four. I was very proud because the other could only count up to three. So we learned to count up and up and up. Once we knew, we didn't count up again. We knew the place value, and from that time on, a five was a five. Was no more, the five was no more that which came after the one, the two, the three, and the four. It becomes a numeral of consciousness. And no more days of creation. Do you know the difference between the days of creation and numerals of consciousness? So when I say this, we can only understand spirit, the substance of spirit, by beginning with mind and mind's idea. I only mean it until we have a good grasp of the seven. Then we don't need to do that anymore. Then we can use the seven synonymous term just as they come to consciousness and flow into consciousness. But in order to know first and culture that first, over years and years, I think one has to do that.
To add to that, the difference between life would be the abundance and the multiplication of supply.
Absolutely, yeah.
Spirit is the substance, life is the abundance,
yeah.
Multiplication.
Yeah, you would go to life when it is a question of having enough, huh?
Yes.
Of having abundance, of having superabundance, huh? Yeah. Then we have afterwards supremacy, and I think this we should delete. I don't think we have enough authority from the book to take supremacy as a specific idea of spirit. And until we have enough authority, let's rather delete it. Because when you take all the references on supremacy, you can see that it is very difficult to see that it should really belong to one of them. Actually, I would say, I think it belongs really to Christianity and not to a synonymous term, that it is really the quality of Christianity and defines Christianity. So for the moment, just forget it. And then as the last one, we have really the most important one, which sums up everything. You see that Spirit says, I'm the only. It is as if this will now put the final full stop there and say, all that what I have been saying up to now is always turning around the same thing, namely to show that Spirit says to mind, I'm the only. If Spirit says to mind, I'm the only, then Spirit is the only substance. If Spirit says to mind, I'm the only, then this is the only reality. Yeah? That only is so big, huh? It's such a small world, the only is so big that it, so to say, gives to all these ideas, it stems all the other ideas. If you go back from the only, which has no opposites. You see, the only means, you see the difference between all and only? Mind is all. Because it says, mind creates all. Mind creates all ideas. Mind says, I fill the whole universe with ideas. And Spirit comes and says, and you know, that's the only thing that exists. There's nothing beside it. That's the whole office of Spirit. Therefore, because it's the only, it says, all right, separate. And you can go right back to the first again, huh? Say, all right, what you have to do is to make a line of demarcation between that whole realm of mind and a so-called opposite or counterfeit realm of mortal mind. Make a clear distinction, separate, because mind is the only realm. And that's a statement of spirit. Is that clear? I would like to ask each one, huh, to explain it. Because if you get that, you know, it's so simple. Huh? So simple. But it's a key to the synonym spirit. Everything that is here, offspring, birth, and so on, leavening, has all to do because Spirit says, I'm the only, I don't want anything beside me. I just can't bear it that there is anything beside me. And therefore I'm going just to leaven everything that tries to be beside me. I'm going to pervade everything until only that nature is established, which is my nature. Because that's the only reality, that's the only substance, huh? And so the only says, I'm going, I want to be everything, therefore you must worship me. You must adore me. I'm the adorable one. Therefore it says, you can't have anything beside me. Therefore put me first. Therefore don't put second first. Put first. I'm the only. It just should ring and ring through one's consciousness, that terrific demand. I am the only. Who? I. Mind. Huh? So you have mind is all, and then spirit comes, says, and there is nothing beside that all. That all is the one and only. There is. Therefore, put away everything else. Yeah? Isn't that clear?
Yeah.
Don't you feel that the tone of spirit is so different, huh? In mind, you had that terrific power within itself that said, I am the origin, the source, the creator, the cause. I want to manifest myself, and I'm going to manifest myself with all power and action, and I manifest all ideas. And you just, so to say, have a feeling that the infinite mind just projects itself into being and says, I build a new universe. And spirit comes along and says, yes, that's fine. And you are the only one. Nothing else beside it. We don't want anything else beside it. Make a clear distinction. Yeah? Quite different.